This is Big Girl Pants Podcast, episode 86.
Hi! Welcome to Big Girl Pants Podcast,
where we're here to talk about women, health, power, and wealth.
Hosted by April Melton
and Kimberly Shapiro.
We are real women with real jobs doing real life. We as women know what it feels like to try to be super mom, super fit, wrinkle-free.
All the while climbing the corporate ladder.
Sound familiar? Then this show is for you.
So stay tuned. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We have the beautiful Shamora with us. Is it Roberson or Roberson?
Roberson.
Sometimes I feel like I say it wrong. It's Shamora Roberson.
Yeah. Don't worry. It's Robinson, Robertson.
Did you not see that T? That's not in there.
Well, right. And the best one is, no, it's Roberson. Can you spell that?
Oh no.
No.
Well, you're like, I'm gonna let you sound that out.
No, I can't, but thank you for asking.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
So, Shamora, how do you and Shapiro know each other?
You wanna share?
Well, you can. I'll chime in. You go.
I'm gonna share one thing and then I want you to share the rest of it.
Okay.
Because it was sort of serendipitous.
Yes.
The whole thing, in fact. Mm-hmm. So I've shared it before years ago on how I got connected to this whole, the women's luncheon that mm-hmm. I spoke at.
Yes.
So I hired a coach in January of 2019. Mm-hmm. And I said, he said, I want you to get in front of people. I want you to speak. I want you to tell your story. And I said, okay, great. That's kind of why I've hired you. I want you to help me position myself to do that. And he said, pick a date. And I'm like, mm-hmm. for what? He's like, just pick a date.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I need a frame of reference.
Pick a date.
Mm-hmm. All right, May 1st. And I'm okay, now tell me what that date means. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's going to be your first speaking event. And I thought, oh, well, okay, because that's like 4 months away and I don't have a topic. I don't have a platform. What? Mm-hmm. And 2 months later, I was starting to get a little anxious because it was a goal. It's written on my mirror. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I have to hit this somehow, some way. And I didn't have any prospects at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was March. So I get a call from Georgia.
Yes.
And Georgia Green. And she says, hey, I'm having a women's conference. It's May 1st. Would you speak? And I'm like, oh my gosh, Georgia, you have no idea what that means. You will never understand what that means. Yes, of course I will. Mm-hmm. And then that's where I met you.
Yes.
And I'll let you tell the rest.
Well, the conference was amazing. It brought a lot of female, either business owners, business leaders, or prospects.
Right.
Great networking event. You got up to speak.
Yeah.
I was floored.
Aww.
I was like, okay, I have to meet her before we leave today.
Yeah.
And we connected, but I also realized that later on that we also knew Natalie. We had Natalie in common.
Oh, I forgot Natalie about Padgett. That. Yeah.
But we exchanged numbers, you and I, and then the rest is history. We met for lunch, and it was just like boom, 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 and that first luncheon was a moment for both of us of realization,
mm-hmm.
more of how much we had in common, not as much of what we didn't have in common.
Right.
And so the organic way things evolved kept us connected because it was almost like it was meant to be. We acknowledged it in the moment to say, wow, I feel like I've known you forever.
And what's so interesting is we have actually been in person 2-3 times.
Tops.
Mm-hmm. I've spent a total of maybe 2.5 hours with you combined.
Mm-hmm. In like a year. We've known each other for a year,
but
right?
But I feel like you're one of my lifelong friends that I've known forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love those moments when you connect with people that you were meant to connect with.
Exactly.
And it only happens when you're open.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful.
And we were both open and that was fantastic.
So thank you for coming on to talk about something so challenging and so emotional.
And long overdue.
And long overdue. And what's really sad, really, there's not a better word to say it, is that we wanted to have this conversation a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in light of recent events, we're like, it's time.
It's got to happen.
It's time.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to have this conversation.
Oh, wait, is this?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that a year ago?
Like,
yes. Yes, yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so life happens. I think I got sick, and then you got sick, and then it just we just didn't do it. Right. So, but now here we are at a time where our platform couldn't be better.
Right.
Or louder or more ready.
Mm-hmm.
So this is great.
I'm into it.
Yeah. 100%. So thanks.
And obviously for those who are listening, you know, the current state of affairs of things that are going on, not only have we had, you know, coronavirus to kind of, you know, pent people up in their homes to where mm-hmm. they're stressing out about their jobs, they're yes. stressing out about money, stressing out about the virus, stressing out about all these things. And then you have the murder of George Floyd mm-hmm. on top of it. And then it's like just this beautiful disaster, this perfect storm of events to happen. And then for finally, I feel like, and you can obviously speak to this, I feel like the Black community finally just fit, they hit their breaking point. And yes. they were like,
yeah.
that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Absolutely.
We literally have nothing left.
Long and then, time coming.
And from like, you know, it's funny, I saw a post yesterday on Instagram where they were like, nobody is saying Colin Kaepernick's name out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Right.
Because he tried this 5 years ago.
And suffered.
And so,
as a result.
And was ostracized
Absolutely.
And criticized and
Absolutely.
Persecuted and lost his job.
He lost everything.
Lost everything.
Everything. And I can tell you, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
thank you for coming, number one, and thank you for being so candid, because this is what Shapiro and I said at the last episode that we had about white privilege,
mm-hmm.
is these are the types of conversations that we need to have with people that love us, that we love, that can tell us the truth of things that we don't know.
Right, right.
Like, I was mentioning this earlier, my best friend, we had this conversation the other day, and I was like, I don't know what I don't know, but what I
right.
do remember is, and I mentioned this on the last episode, We're in like Highland Park or North Dallas or something, and she and I are walking through Central Market, and you know, the majority of people who shop there are white,
mm-hmm.
and they're older and
mm-hmm.
they're affluent, and I'm walking with this beautiful ebony like goddess looking like she came straight from like Barbados. And it's her and I and my daughter. And we got so many stares, so
yeah.
many looks. Like, I was personally offended.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I looked. It was like an older couple, senior citizens. This is probably not the most respectful way to approach them. But I was like, can I help you?
Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need that. We need that from the same side, if that makes sense. So I often say, and I've mentioned this to Kimberly, racism is not our fight.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't create it.
That's
we
right.
can't fix it.
Yeah.
We are affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
It is done to us,
mm-hmm.
but we can't fix a problem that we didn't create.
Yeah.
Our fight is equality.
Right.
Our fight is injustice.
Mm-hmm.
Our fight is surviving. We have to survive in a world that wasn't created for us to thrive in.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, at the end of the day, if I'm with you, or Kimberly and I entertained going out together to see if she or I got
yeah.
treated differently.
You guys talked about like having an exchange where she's the only white person in the room and you're the only
exactly.
black person in the room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Doing an experiment and
yeah.
being very organic.
Right.
Unplanned, unpropped,
mm-hmm.
just to see and read the room and the reaction.
For sure.
Because.
And you're so brave to do that.
I'm so
she's
done.
She's so ready.
With everything.
You're like,
I'm so
there.
Done.
I'm so there.
You know, and I just walk in the room. I've lived it. And for most of my life, I was the one black person in the room.
That's what Elytra said.
I was that one black
yes.
person.
Yes.
And whether male, female, at first it seems like you like me. And then I find out you don't.
Right. Mm.
And so for us, it creates this air of suspicion for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ones I did trust,
yeah.
I should not have.
No.
Yeah.
Right. And so we live our lives taciturn.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that's not fair.
No.
That's what pisses me off.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the necessity of what we have to do and how we have to arm ourselves and prep just before we walk in the effing store.
The
yeah.
store.
Just from the car.
And for me.
And when you
like,
say prep, it's like a mental
it's
prep.
It's a mental
yes.
prep.
You're like talking yourself
well,
up.
And it's, what do I look like? What do I have on? Am I suited to walk in here? And then we take, for example, my husband and I will go to dinner. Like, he still dates me, believe it or not.
I love that. It's because you're hot.
I know. I date her, too.
And we'll go to, like, a Double Eagle steakhouse. Because we need to get out. We love good food.
Yeah.
And we'll go in. We'll dress nicely. And we'll see people who are white, who are in football shorts. Or
mm-hmm. yeah.
just slouch clothes.
Yeah.
And we'll look around like, if we walked in here like that,
they wouldn't serve us.
We would not get through the door.
No.
We would not get through the door. If we did, we would be made to feel so uncomfortable. He and I have mastered the art of making those uncomfortable situations uncomfortable for them.
Yeah.
That's good.
You've learned to play the part.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My husband will say, we are not sitting by that kitchen.
So I have a question then.
Move our table, you know.
So question, because it is not hard to notice when you see, one more question before I get to that question. Yeah. Is it appropriate to say black? Is it appropriate to say African-American? We had this conversation before, but I want it on recording.
Mm-hmm.
What is the preference? Or do we even know? Because different people have different preference.
Right. I will say this, and I will preface my response by saying I don't profess to be able to speak for all black people.
Sure.
But I will say this. The response comes in the tone.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if it's like black girl.
Okay, that's not cool.
Exactly. You heard how that felt, right? Or those African Americans, it's the tone and tenor behind it.
And the intention.
And the intent. Because
so
we
for,
can
for
read
today,
it.
It's okay to say black people, white people. Like, that's fine.
Yes. Okay. As long as there's, if we see it equal.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't address it when it was a white person, but they were sure to call out black.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it in the media.
Yep.
We see it in the news circuit. We see it in the criminal justice systems. And it's like, okay, why didn't you identify that? And my husband and I will be at home like, must have been a white person. Because they didn't say it was black.
Dang.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's my family does this all the time,
yeah,
too. I'll get to that. But my question is, real quick, when you go, you know, to dinner and you go to nicer restaurants, it doesn't go unnoticed how really well-dressed black people are.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, always to the nines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, always look so great. And, it, you know, my husband and I will even comment, like, my husband always says, I wish I could look like that in a suit. Because he never, you know, great style. You just know how to do it.
It's true.
It's
though.
Funny they make fun of white people, too, because it's like,
it's
white
true,
people
though.
Will wear, like, jeans and a black shirt and be like, I'm dressed up.
But my
and
question,
not iron their stars. During, yeah.
But my
yeah,
question.
We do it.
That is intentional. I never thought that was intentional. I just thought that was just like, you just got good style and you want to show it off. It's really intentional.
Well, no, it's twofold. It's not either or. It's
okay.
Both and.
Okay, gotcha.
So for us, we love looking good. We love
obviously.
Looking good.
You should see it
today.
Because
we know
y'all.
We can nail it, right?
I know.
It's something we own. And there's a quote, a meme I saw the other day, and my husband's like, yeah, I like that. It says, I wish white people love black people as much as they love black culture.
Oh for sure.
Gosh, that's
the
so good.
Most used and promoted within the white community.
Yes.
But then when it comes down to giving black people the respect that they deserve, absolutely
you don't deserve
not.
It.
Why would I do that?
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to your music. I'm going to wear your clothes.
I'm going to dance like you.
I'm going to dance like you.
Wait. We're going to try to dance like you.
We can't dance like you. Yeah,
right.
We're not that good.
Right.
Yep.
Right. So.
And that's another thing. You mentioned like them, you know, making sure that they specify the color of the skin of the person on the news story or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a struggle for me, too. And I don't want to go down this rabbit hole just yet, but it's like my daughter's father is, he grew up in a town with 10,000 white people.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from Massachusetts. So it's not, I cannot make an excuse for him, but I also don't want to put him on blast and say that it's all his fault because it's a culture thing. That's how he was raised. He was raised with his grandfather saying, like, you know, if the Cosbys came on TV, he's like, get those off my TV.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, When that's your family and when that's somebody that you love so much and you see them, you want to be just, you emulate them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I grew up never hearing that word. I didn't know what the word meant. I didn't know the difference. I knew the difference between the color of the skin, but I think it was more of a culture thing for me. I was so naive.
So I want to say something and counter that, and I appreciate where you're coming from and giving him protection.
Yeah.
But I don't want
but
to
But it's
get
a choice.
And I can put him on blast. So I'm going to, and I'm going to throw my family in there with him. I don't think that's an excuse. I think just because you have a generation or five generations ahead of you that felt that way or acted that way, that does not give you a pass.
It doesn't give you licensure to continue
it doesn't,
in that vein.
It doesn't.
It's not okay.
It's just there's a book Laura Schlesinger wrote years ago called Bad Childhood, Good Life.
Yeah.
And the whole book is about, it doesn't matter what happens in your childhood. It does.
It does.
It matters what you make of it.
It does. But exactly. While you're an adult and you have a free-thinking mind and a will of your own, there's no excuses anymore. You can't use your childhood experiences right. to explain away bad behaviors exactly. as an adult. Yeah. So I'm going to put him on blast. I'm going to put him on blast with people in my family who do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing too, is like the difference between us is, you know, he grew up in a house like that, but I grew up, you know, when I went to school, I'm from Duncanville. Mm-hmm. So I went to a very diverse school my whole life. I played football. So I played football with black, white, Mexican, Asian, mm-hmm. Laotian, what's the other one? Tongan, like everybody. But when I was in like elementary school, I legit, because black people would call each other brother, I thought they were brothers.
Yeah.
And then they were like, I was like, why are you fighting your brother? But for me, my issue isn't like necessarily putting my ex-husband on blast, because I can't change him. That's up to him to change himself. Mm-hmm. But my daughter.
Right.
And she started to signify like that girl with brown skin, that girl with this, that girl. And I'm like, why is that important? Mm-hmm. And I'm literally asking her these questions. And she's like, well, because daddy says blah, blah, blah. Or daddy says, and I'm like, okay, but it's not important. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to say, I want to go play with that girl at the pool, the girl with the brown skin. I'm mm-hmm. like, what's her name?
Right.
Like, why do we have to go there?
And as weird as this may sound, because I do believe it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't see it and you wouldn't see it. That's a privileged conversation.
It is.
Because my daughter, who's 8, I have to ask her, and I have to say to her, okay, well, is she brown or peach? What does she look? Because those are her colors.
Yeah.
Based on what happened.
Yeah.
Why doesn't she like me, Mom? Why is she making everybody hate me?
Yeah.
I had a lot of friends.
Yeah.
But then she came in.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, what's the friend group like?
Yeah.
And as young as at that age, it happens then. Mm-hmm. And if you don't start fixing it from that point, then they grow up that way.
Exactly. And Chloe's best friend is black.
Mm-hmm.
And her, okay, and the biggest conundrum of the whole thing is that her best friend is black. Her mom is a very close friend of mine. Her dad's a cop. And I'm like, bro, your best friend is black. Like, you don't have
but
to
say. But she's also 5.
I know, yeah. but it's like having these conversations with her now, showing her mm-hmm. that the emphasis on the skin color is irrelevant.
Right.
Like, knowing, it's funny though, she'll be like, London's dad plays that music, Mom. Like, he listens to that music. He dances like this. And she's really
you know what I want to see in the world though? And Shamora, if I'm crazy, tell me.
Okay.
I want us to be able to say the black girl, the white girl, the brown girl, like
the Indian girl,
just like the girl with blonde hair, the girl with red hair, the boy with freckles. It is an identifying factor. Yeah, yeah. And I would love for us to get to a place where we can say that without a hidden meaning behind
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I was going to say you are set up in a situation right now because it's a generation, it's generations over generations over
exactly.
generations of ill intent behind
right.
that.
Yeah.
And what does that even mean? And
mm-hmm.
why did they have to say that?
Yeah.
Where we get to operate in that space.
Yeah.
We get to ebb and flow because 9 times out of 10, I'm pretty much not being a racist against you.
Sure.
I don't have the power. So it really is like a mile marker. I'm just identifying, and it's to add color to the story.
Yeah.
Right, so you can see this interaction and
sure.
engagement and can draw a mental picture.
Telling a story.
But for us, we're like, all of a sudden it matters now? What difference does it make?
Yeah, right.
And we check motive.
Yep.
But we don't do it in a vacuum. We've experienced this.
That's right.
Yeah.
These are painful moments we've lived through. So now I got to know when I walk in the room, and examine every intention behind every hi. Are you saying hi because I'm black and you want me to be comfortable in the room
right.
of white people? Are you saying hi just because you saw me and it's nice to say hi?
Right.
It's so the way our lives have to be mapped out, walked out, and extended outwardly is so guarded that mentally, we don't even realize it because it's the mechanics of it. It's just what we have to do to survive.
Yeah. But the level of stress and anxiety that accompany that is insurmountable. Like, I can't even imagine mm-hmm. what it's like and what your fight and flight responses are, because it's almost like instantaneous, but that's also ingrained in you. You don't have the ability not to have that. And going through life that way and being black and not having the ability to comfortably talk about mental health, like, no wonder Kanye went off the deep end. No wonder people are like reacting the way that they are, because number one, you're not allowed to talk about your mental health. Number two, you have to live life like you're in a war every day.
And a war we didn't start.
And like, Alicia, we didn't even ask to come over here.
One that we didn't ask to be a part of, right? And for those of us that are here, we're like, for people who say, if you don't like it here, go back where you came from. Well, I came from here.
I was born here.
And second of all, my ancestors' blood is in this soil. So if anybody owns this,
it's me.
Just thought, I was listening to that podcast, 1619, that's when I started to think, it's like, Who did we ever think we were, right? When we're telling people to... Here's a story. Oh, boy. Abraham Lincoln. Everybody... Many people. I should stop saying everybody all, but never. But Abraham Lincoln, and he actually did not think white people and black people were equal.
Right.
He... Did you know this?
Yeah, it's a huge misnomer. Mm-hmm.
So he allowed it to happen, he brought five, and I don't know who they were, but he brought five representatives from the African American community to come in to kind of plan, okay, once everybody's emancipated, we need to get them off our soil. We need to get them into other countries. And they're like, what? This is our country. Right. And our forefathers died here.
Yeah.
So we built this country.
Right.
You know, like, we were the ones, blood, sweat, and tears out in the fields, creating.
Farming in the South.
Exactly.
Textiles in the North.
Yeah.
So structure, food, supply chain.
Right.
Everything. All of that.
Like, everything.
We built that.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they're like, no, we're not going to do that. And it's documented. Mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln said. And this is not verbatim, but he said, well, you're never going to be equal here. You're never going to be like, and it wasn't even I feel so bad, you're never going to be equal. It was like,
no,
we're not equal.
He gets this like false sense of like validation or this glorification for what he did. But in reality, he was just as racist as anyone else.
It was a
else.
Political move.
Exactly.
And
we know this.
Of course.
We know
well,
it. And
yeah.
to hear more white people acknowledge it would be to pull in the phrase, because there's a fraying of blacks who do believe that he did it for us and was not racist and all that. But it's the small percentage.
Well, and you know
and
why?
So
the problem is our education system.
Exactly.
The books are written the way they want the stories told.
Of course.
Not the way true history actually occurred.
Yes.
Which, in all fairness... to some degree, the Confederate situation, like taking down Confederate flags and Confederate monuments and things like that years ago, like 10 years ago was when that happened, right?
Yeah.
When it started.
And,
and I was like, gosh, that's terrible. That's history. Well, I didn't know what I know now. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand. And I think if there was more, instead of the anger and the fighting, let's educate people. Because if people knew the truth, they wouldn't be so quick. Not everybody. But I think of a majority of people are like me, who just didn't know.
And I don't think that.
You don't?
I don't.
Oh.
I honestly do not. I think there is a vast majority of people who are afraid of what we could become. We have examples of it.
They should be afraid.
Yeah. And if you look at, just take for example some things that happened in our history. Rosewood.
Yeah.
Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
You torched down our wealthiest neighborhoods. Now looting and rioting, oh, those thugs, those this, those that. Well, that's how you started the fight. This isn't the roadmap. This isn't what we do.
What did you expect us to do?
I mean, you burned our shit down like to the ground.
Right, yeah.
The prosperous neighborhoods that we did have, all because both instances, a black kid was accused of looking at a white woman.
Of course.
Or whistling at her.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
And now we see, now we see these little moments, current history.
Yep.
Maybe today.
Yeah.
I'll keep watching for it.
Right.
A white woman confronting a black man. Don't come close to me. Don't walk up to me.
Oh,
bird watching.
Oh, the girl in the park.
Bird
in Central
watching.
Park.
Still today,
he's
she is
me.
That chick. And I told my husband, I said, God help me. If ever.
You witnessed that?
No, if I'm a part of it.
Okay.
Get the bail money. Yeah. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, like
I'm not running because nobody has room or space in life for that kind of crap.
No.
And it's so bad enough that we're already in a situation.
And he
that
was
we're
literally
in.
Standing back like, call the cops. I asked you to put a leash on your dog.
Get your damn dog.
And can you take care of the damn dog? You please, choked the dog out during the whole video.
You don't love it. It's not about the dog.
You don't care about the dog.
Give it back.
I'm not worried about me.
No idea what we're talking about. Okay, because so, I turned the news off. So.
It was like, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. a girl was in Central Park walking her dog, and I believe what happened was a man was bird watching, and she had her dog off the leash, and he said, ma'am, can you please put your dog on the leash? And then she is freaking out and says, I'm calling the cops, you're harassing me. She calls the cops, she's holding her dog by the collar, her dog is flipping shit. And she's like, this man in Central... I'm in Central Park, and I'm in this division, and he's harassing me.
And you left off a critical piece of that story. Before she called, she says, I'm going to call them, and I'm going to tell them...
Oh, yeah.
...that African-American, a black man, is harassing me. And I told my husband, I said, it's like they have a script.
Yeah.
Like it's a code.
Like it's pre-ingrained.
Yeah, it's a code. We talk around the house about what to do. Like we talk to our kids.
Right.
When they were small... I would tell my children, when we go to the store, stay close to me. Don't touch anything. Don't pull anything off the shelves. And don't walk around with your hands in your pockets.
Oh.
That's an effed up way to do that.
Why is that? Explain that.
Because every time we go in a store, a black person goes in the store, we turn around. You either have people spying and lurking and following you around the store.
Yep.
Or you have a parade of people.
Yeah.
And you will never win the argument that, why are you watching me? Now, for me, being the... be I can be in the face of racism. When I see that, when I see someone following me, my solve is to turn around and start walking towards them.
Yeah.
So either they'll turn and change the aisle, they'll go somewhere else, or I'll say, excuse me, are you looking for me?
You remove their power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you looking for me?
Yeah.
Wow. What do you need? What's up?
Well, that's the thing is like, that's what white privilege is. That mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, I have friends all across the board. I have a lot of friends that are like, you know, what is this about? What does this mean? And then, you know, of course we have, and again, I don't want to blame their childhood, but this is the family that they come mm-hmm, from, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, but looting and rioting. And I'm like, have you ever been followed through a store because of the color of your skin? Have you ever been pulled over and feared for your life?
Right.
But here's the
problem. They don't even think it's real. They don't even think...
They haven't.
I'm calling out somebody that is in my life, and don't judge me. He thinks the only reason that anything like that would happen is because someone was mouthy or whatever. I'm like,
nope.
Okay, but your ass can get mouthy, and are you going to be, and I use your story, are you going to be pulled through the window
mm-hmm,
of a car?
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-hmm. That's the point. That's the message. Right. That's what you're missing.
Right.
It's like, just because you're mouthy doesn't warrant this behavior.
Yeah, what are you going to give me a spanking?
I mean,
I'm not your... I'm an adult, you know, at this point, I'm an adult, you know, and to your point about my sons, they were in Huntsville, Texas.
Yes, I call it
Clansville, Texas.
Of course.
It's probably not appropriate, but whatever, it is what it is, at Sam Houston State University. And like every college kid, the two of them and one of their female friends, they were hanging out watching TV and they said, hey, let's go get a pizza. Hop in the car.
Yeah.
My son makes what the officer said was a rolling stop. He didn't stop at the stop sign. Mm,
sure.
But he did, right? All three of them, even the girl in the backseat, called me crying. She was like, Ms. Shamora, I promise you, they did nothing wrong.
But can we just say, if he didn't,
then you get a ticket for a rolling stop. Like,
no, they pull him over, give them the hardest time. My son is saying, what did I do? What did I do wrong? Get out of the car. Give me your stuff. I'm asking you what I did wrong. My young son is in the passenger seat, who's more like me,
mm-hmm.
right? He takes his phone out and starts videoing.
Hell yeah.
Then he looks to the right, and there's an officer at the window he didn't even know was there.
Of course.
Things ensue. The officer starts to pull my oldest son out of the truck. My youngest son grabs him by the waist, and he's like, let my brother go. We didn't do anything. The young lady in the back seat then starts recording. Long story short, they rip both of my children out of the car, throw them on the ground. This is like 11 o'clock at night.
Well, how long ago?
Maybe 2 years.
Okay.
Throw them on the ground. To a point, my youngest son said, Mom, they wrangled me so much. my private area was exposed, and I kept telling the officer, dude, pull my clothes up.
Right.
You know, I'm exposed. Ignored him. And he said he finally made eye contact with one of the officers and said, can you please pull my shit up?
Yeah.
And he, like, pulled his shorts up. Took him to jail. The girl is still in the car, screaming, crying. She calls me in the middle of the night. And I said, okay, calm down. It's fine. She's like, I called my dad, and he's an attorney, and, you know, that whole thing. I said, where are they? Call the jail. Yeah, they're here. I have both your sons here.
Why didn't she go to jail?
To this day, I have no idea. I have no idea. And, yeah, we have both your sons here. They were getting all mouthy with the police and going on and on. I said, okay, are they allowed a phone call? Have they been allowed to make a phone call? Because I'm 3 hours away,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I find that we get bail money sent down, get them out of jail. I find out from them, they were mass Mirandized. They were never told why they were being arrested.
Yeah.
They were never read their rights on the side of the road. They were thrown into a car, in a police car, hauled off to jail, denied privilege and right to make their phone call. It was up to the young lady to let me know everything was going on. And the jailers would not even tell me, when will they see the judge? Will they see the judge? When will they be released? We've paid the bail money. All of this hullabaloo over what they said was
a rolling stop.
Yes. Yeah.
Were the officers white?
Yeah. Both, and there was one black.
Oh, there was.
One black.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And that situation infuriated me more than I could ever put into words. It's happened to me before. I think many occasions I got off because I'm a female.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because.
And attractive.
I shut down 635 one day in traffic because an officer, a motorcycle cop, gets behind me and I'm like, okay, what do you want? But I'm in the left lane. Mm-hmm. So, and there, you know, 635 is like 3-4 lanes
yeah.
deep, right?
Yeah.
So you can't ride beside me and say, pull over.
Where am I
going
to pull
over? You're in the way.
Yeah.
And you can't be to this side of me on the shoulder yelling at me because I'm looking at you and trying to pull over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For me, my mindset was make room for me to get over. Start slowing traffic down in each lane so I can get over.
Mm-hmm.
Then he screams at me. Now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know. Men,
sure, don't play.
Men yelling at me, period, is a problem. But then you add to that a white man.
Uh-huh. Rude.
So finally, I pull over. I look behind me. There are like 6 patrol cars, 3 motorcycle cops.
Jesus.
Just for me. Just for me. The claim was I was in the HOV lane, and it was just me. You would have thought that I had held up chase.
Oh, you were O.J. Simpson. You didn't know.
You know,
you were
O.J.
Simpson running from the cops.
Something like that. Well, so he probably should have ran. So let's compare me to somebody else. But then he comes up to the window, and I say, he's pissed. He's pissed because I didn't submit.
Yeah.
He gets to my window, and he's still pissed. And I said, let me tell you something right off the bat. I'm a woman first, and you're going to damn well treat me like one, and you're going to watch how you talk to me, or we can just take this to the next level. And we started having words on the side of the road. This black cop comes around and tells him, let me talk to her, right? He goes, let me just talk to her real quick. And he comes to the window. I was like, what? he was like, listen, sis, just, he's probably going to write you a ticket, so just, you know, just wait. I said, you tell your peer that I'm a damn woman. Don't come up to my window screaming at me like that. I said, you treat me just like you would treat me if I was a white woman.
Yeah. Huh?
Don't come over here treating me like that. He's like, okay, just calm down. Calm down. We'll get him to just write your ticket and then we can be gone. I said, why did we need the whole damn police force?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't you guys have better things to do right now?
What? I'm on my way to school because I was in grad school. So I was single parenting, going to work full time and going to night school.
Yeah.
I don't have time
You're
for
like,
this
I
shit.
Not
only this, let's keep in mind too, because let's talk about like why African Americans, black people mm-hmm. versus white people get pulled over. Okay,
bull crap.
I'm gonna tell you a story that literally just happened to me because I just bought a new car,
mm-hmm.
and this is white privilege. This is the freaking definition of white privilege. Mm-hmm. I drove around with an expired registration for 4 years.
Wow.
Why did I get pulled over, Shamara?
We know why.
Why didn't I go to jail, Shamora?
That's what Shamora wants to know.
Why didn't the cops give me a ticket or take me to jail or pull me out of my car because I had an expiration sticker of 2016? Why? Because I'm white.
That's right. There's no other explanation.
I've gotten pulled over 6 times for that expired registration.
If it makes you feel any better, Kylie had an expired registration for 8 months and got pulled over by 3 police officers.
I got pulled over 6 times.
Thought that girl was gonna die. She called me crying. She's like, they're not them going to jail.
Yeah, but she's not going to jail. But she got a ticket. Didn't. Right.
They
I got
were
a
nice
ticket,
to her.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
I got a ticket 1 time. Okay. If
in
I were
4
black,
years.
If I were black,
yeah.
I would have been removed from my car. I would have been who knows, okay? I could have potentially been molested. Something else could have happened. They could have abused their power with me because I had an expired registration.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm white, I never got anything aside from a ticket.
Yep, a slap on the wrist.
Slap on the wrist.
Which is all we should get.
But why do you get pulled over as a black person? Because you could potentially have warrants. Your car could not be registered to you. Are you the registered driver of this car? Not one time have I ever been asked that. And guess what? My ex-husband's name was on the car, so it wasn't even in my name.
Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
How do we fix this? Where do we go from here? Let's talk about what's happening right now.
Okay.
So as everybody knows, George Floyd was murdered.
Absolutely.
On camera. Should we talk about the fact that if that wasn't on camera,
it wouldn't happen that way. Yeah,
we should
talk about every other thing we're finding.
Police officer probably wouldn't have even been arrested, so thank God that thing was videotaped. But where do we go from here? What are your opinions on the riots? I think everybody's in agreement on the peaceful protests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly everybody's in agreement. Well, most people are in agreement on that. What is your opinion on the riots?
So I will say this about the riots. I am not for rioting, but not for the same reason probably as most.
Okay.
Most of white America, let me say it like
that.
I'm not for the rioting because of what it could cause as far as black people. We're outmanned. You riot, you die. So for me, it's about livelihood. It's about life. It's not about what's decorum, what's appropriate, what we should and shouldn't do. It is, if you go down there, they will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You are now giving them a reason to point to.
It's almost like you're disposable.
Exactly. And easy. And loving it. Because the thing about George's death and the way that happened, the most sickening part was how the officer with his knee on the neck was looking at the crowd like, I can kill any of you black pieces of crap in broad daylight in your face and nothing will happen.
Yeah. It's just like what Donald Trump said. Donald Trump said I could kill somebody in the middle of a crowd and they'd still vote for me.
Yep. And for us, the murders always happen. And it, like the Jewish Holocaust, the difference between that and slavery, theirs was caught on film.
Yeah.
So you got to own
proof.
What we can see.
Yep.
Ours is now starting to be caught on film.
Yeah.
And we're learning that the impact to the economy means something.
Yeah.
And we're learning it quicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, what's happening? And white America, the naysayers now see it. And they're like, damn, they did just kill that guy.
Mm-hmm.
They did just do that.
And you're like, we've been saying this for centuries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so to answer your question, where do we go from here? It's going to take, my husband talked about changing the laws and this and that. I said, but babe, it's bigger than that. It has to be a systemic change and everything that falls under it, including law.
Yeah.
Right. Equal treatment, fair treatment. Right. Us not being boxed out of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Not being used, because even right now, America is structured in a way to use black men and black women for. Look at the NFL.
I mean, in the
that's
next,
a Yeah. That's commercial. That's money.
And in the nicest way possible, you guys, black people are used for entertainment purposes.
Yes. Props.
You know, and we don't even talk about like CTE and traumatic brain injury from football players. And we don't talk about like Kevin Hart was on Joe Rogan and he's talking about how he's teaming up with JP Morgan to talk about financial literacy in the black communities. He's like, you cannot take a white banker to go to the hood and talk about financial literacy and expect a change to happen. You have to take someone who grew up in shitty Philadelphia to talk about financial literacy and the mistakes that I made and why you can and can't do the things that I did, because we have to be better. Like, we have to get better.
And they have to own some of this. You employed me. We have a contract together, meaning the NFL. I'm 19, 20, 21. I don't know how to manage $3 million.
No.
So why not bake if you care for me, the player?
But they don't.
If you care for me, the man, why wouldn't you bake into that the guarantee of protection through teaching and learning financial literacy?
Exactly.
Here are the things that will hurt you. Here are the things that won't hurt you.
Right. Yeah.
And beyond that, this comes with your employment.
Right.
This is a part of your hiring package.
NFL, MLB, NBA.
All of
professional
it.
Golf. I mean, anything.
All of it.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Rap music. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you guys talk about financial literacy? Mm-hmm. Stop talking about banging hoes. Mm-hmm. Stop talking about stacking cash. Mm-hmm. You guys don't talk about paper all the time. What are you doing with that paper? You buy Gucci bracelets and stuff.
What would we do with it, though? What would we do with it when you're oppressed? It's like a kid in a candy store, right? So when you're oppressed and then you finally see just a little opportunity, the thing you've seen other people flash in front of you that you know is glamorous, that you, that the world has made glamorous.
Of course.
But it seems so far out of reach for you.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I go get the thing that I lusted for and that was like eye candy to me my whole life? Mm-hmm. Now I can afford it.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to teach me that.
Hey, only that money's going to run out.
It's going to run out.
Right. And it's not
Here's
even bad.
How you protect
it's like
it.
They go in with pure intentions. Like, you know, Lucky Whitehead, he was a wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. As soon as he could afford it, he bought his mom a new car. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's not even that it's bad. It's just like, I want to give back because these people raised me. Mm-hmm. And then that's exactly why professional athletes employ their friends. He's my assistant. He's on my payroll. Mm-hmm. I pay him.
Family.
I make all this. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
But all of them are not literate. Every single one of them are financially illiterate. And but to that point on rap music, it's the same.
Right.
That's the why to your question. That's the why they don't. Is the literacy of it.
Yeah.
But it's the thing that you crave and you want because you want to feel like you're a part of the thing that's deemed as good.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But imagine being a people stripped from a land and brought to a foreign land.
Yeah.
We were brought to a place.
Like you don't belong.
Yeah. We were brought to a place. Our language was taken away. Our religion was taken
your
away.
Your ancestry.
Our tribal.
They didn't. So if you listen to 1619, what's the lady who, do you know who she is? She's telling a story and she says in fifth grade, she was asked, all the kids in the class were asked to trace back their ancestry and then from whatever country they were from and then do a report on it. And there was only two black girls in the room and they looked at each other like,
I don't even know where to start.
We don't know.
Like, I don't know where to start.
We don't know. We were torn away from our ancestors were torn away from there. And she's like, this, America. This is, we trace it back to this soil. Because they can't go back farther than that.
Right. My daughter asked me about 2 months ago, Mom, when am I going to learn more about our history and ancestry? And I was like, okay, you ready? Sit down. Let's talk about it. And then last night she popped in the room and she said, hey Mom, hey Dad, can I, turn it on, what was it? Black Klansman. And I looked at my husband, I whipped my head around. I was like, he was like, yeah, sure. And I said, well, wait, do you know what that movie's about? She's like, yeah. And I was like, are you sure? She goes, yeah. I said, okay, tell me. And she went on to say, well, it was these people took these black people's land and they were being mean to them and in a very elementary way.
Yeah, sure.
And I said, okay, you can watch it after you finish. Let's have a conversation about what that movie really is about.
Sure. Yeah.
What it really means. And so I have to caution even with her. And I have to caution myself to not resent that the necessity of that conversation even exists.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have it.
Of course.
I'm going to have it to protect her.
Yeah.
I'm going to have it so life doesn't rob her of the facts,
right,
and her ability to choose wisely, right? But to what we do now, we have to be deliberate in our intentions. We have to be, if we want to know, we have to be deliberate mm-hmm. in knowing. We have to be unbiased. We have to look at it through a lens of, remember when we had our lunch the first time at Salada? Mm-hmm. And I said, the best way I can explain it from a picturesque perspective is the last scene, one of the scenes in A Time to Kill.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the movie?
Yeah, sure.
When Jake Brigance was giving closing arguments.
Yeah.
And he made a description of this young girl and everything that happened to her. And he made the jurors close their eyes. And when he got to the end, this all-white jury, he said, now imagine she's white. Because he even knew in that moment as a white man hanging around Carl Lee that he wasn't getting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Carl Lee told him, I picked you because you're like them. You think like them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Until you become us and reverse it and say, damn, if that was me, if that was my baby.
Yeah.
If that was my husband, if that was my dad.
Yeah.
If that was my friend, whatever, how would I feel? What would that look like?
Yeah.
And the hurtful part is there's no credence given to the harm that's being done mm-hmm. to us. It just makes us look like, here we go again, always that's playing true. The race card. Isn't it always about race?
Exactly.
Isn't that why we're here?
Exactly.
Well, and white people are so guilty of saying, me too, throw me in this bucket for years of saying, I don't agree with it, this is wrong, we've got to do something.
And doing nothing.
Not really saying anything out loud. Mm-hmm. Saying, I'm not a racist. Well, I'm reading a book called How to Be an Anti-Racist. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point. It's like, you are racist if you say nothing.
Right.
If you stay silent. Yeah, you might not partake in the behaviors and you might not agree with them. But if you say nothing and you do nothing.
You're just as guilty.
You're just as guilty.
You're just as guilty.
And I think that is the vast majority of people mm-hmm. who are in the camp of we need change. But they're not advocating for change. Mm-hmm. We're just staying silent.
To make change is going to take sacrifice.
I know.
Sacrifice is a painful word because when you sacrifice, something dies.
That's right.
Every time something dies, whether it's an old way of thinking,
mm-hmm.
relationships, people who don't want to change with you,
right.
people who don't want to help make it better with you, people who don't want to own it. Because the fact is you can't start to help until you start to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Except that this is what we've done.
Yeah.
This is how we've lived and behaved and not said a thing about it.
Exactly. So, and you're guilty by association, whether you participate in the behavior or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't say anything, just like those three other cops, that they got arrested too, even though their knees weren't on his neck, they got arrested
because they're
guilty
well
by association.
Been.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's what we've
yeah.
done too,
yeah.
by not speaking up,
that's
by
right.
not saying anything.
Yeah, we are the guys
yeah.
watching.
We're just as guilty.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Question, the disbanding of the police force.
Mm-hmm.
What is your opinion on that? And then what is plan B? So let's just say, yeah, okay, the police force goes away, and obviously there's going to have to be some sort of institution that mm-hmm. manages law.
Law and order.
What does that look like? Does the black community talk about what plan B is? Or is it more like, let's just disband this and figure it out then?
So for me, I don't know that I would disband it.
Yeah.
I would correct it.
Sure.
Because like us and like you guys, calling each other out
yeah.
and calling yourself out and
yeah.
calling family out, we have to do the same. And so do police. Police have to stand up and say, this SOB is out of line.
Mm-hmm.
He is a racist.
Personally,
he's
I think that's it. Where it starts is get the good guys to start speaking
that's
up.
Absolutely.
Get the corruption out of there and start promoting people and incentivizing people to stand up who are doing the right thing and want to expose the bad behavior and the bad cops.
Right. And to purge it up.
Yeah,
purge that
exactly.
negativity right out of
and
it.
And I think that's what people mean by disbanding. It's like, well, we can't do that because that's not been successful. So let's just get rid of it and then rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe?
Well, that part for sure. But another piece of it goes to having officers in our neighborhood that look like us and understand us.
And
yeah.
live
right.
in our communities.
Right.
Like not living in the community that you're serving is like the hypocrisy at its
mm-hmm.
finest.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
These are your people. This is your home. This is your village.
Right.
You should want to protect and serve your village, not kill your village.
Our dad was a sheriff's deputy. He passed away in 2016. He policed our neighborhood. He policed that neighborhood, and everyone knew him.
Yeah.
By name, not just by his face or his presence.
Yeah.
And he would have conversations, and he was the one who would have conversations to a point that kids would get exhausted because they knew he would talk them down. Just talk them down. Just like, oh my God, here we go. Even me as a kid, I was like, oh my God, land the plane. Can I just get a whooping?
Shimura, this is why this is important.
On and on. I'm like, okay, kill me now. But he was involved in a way that even if someone in our community got in trouble, he would make the arrest.
Yeah.
He would say, let me do it.
Yeah.
And on the ride, it's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
On the ride, it's an educational, almost a parental type thing.
Yeah, right. Like a life lesson.
Mm-hmm. And he gained respect for that.
Yeah.
And my mom to this day, you know, is the respect is still there for don't do this, don't do that. This is right. This is wrong. She shows up. It's like, oh, there's Miss Gladys.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because there is a moral compass and code, but also there's affection there.
Mm-hmm.
The love is poured back into the community.
Right. Yeah.
It's not, I'm here to just point out everything you're doing wrong or none of that. It's like, I see the pain. I see the lack. How can I do it? Let's open a community room and have computers in there, help the educational process.
Right.
But we have to make a partnership with the police. Mm-hmm. It can't be this disjointed. And they, within that organization, they have to cure the cancer. They have to cut it out.
Oh, for sure.
Because it exists.
Yeah.
And it's in a bad way.
It's prevalent.
It's in a bad way. He even underwent racism as a cop from the force.
Mm.
And he would come home. There were days he was in tears where one of the staffers would call him the N-word.
Well, that's the hard thing too about being an African American or a black cop is that you're getting it from both sides.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting it from your cop, from the cops in your own department, but you're also getting it from black people because they're like, "Oh, you're a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you. You went to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You're not on my team."
Well, and in the face of not doing anything, you saw what they did to me.
Right.
Well, then it's like, but if I stay upright, then I can fight for you on this side.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can see. I'm eyes on the inside.
And like, I'm your representation on this side,
mm-hmm.
you know?
But then it's not enough, right?
And
not
what enough. What does the Obamas say, go higher? What is their...
When
they go low, you go higher.
Yeah, we're not feeling that, though.
No.
That's
not
helpful.
We're done.
It's not helpful.
Yeah.
Right. It's an idea. That sounds good. It's a nice to have,
mm-hmm.
but it's if I constantly have to go higher than them, that's a sign that I'm always being beaten down.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I have to make a choice now to go high.
Yeah.
Because I've been infringed
upon.
You're
like, and why do I always have to go high?
Yeah.
I'm not the instigator.
That's right.
You know, so for me, it's a conversation, but it's bigger than a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If a conversation happens without action, then it was a waste of time.
Yeah.
It was a waste of time. These are all just great ideas. And everybody has them. Everybody has them. And I sit around and I can tell you this state of unrest had me so bad Wednesday. I told my husband, I said, I want to ask you how you're doing, but I'm so scared to hear what you'll say that I haven't asked. I said, but babe, I'm wondering, how are you doing? Seeing the black faces and seeing the murder, and it is so hard and it's daily. How are you emotionally? How are you mentally? How does that make you see the world? You know, and it's a tough spot. And people will say, well, your husband's half white. My husband identifies completely as a black man. He has a black father who raised him, black family. He identifies as a black man. So when he sees that black face, he's like, that could be me. That could be any
or
of our kids.
Yeah.
Right. Could be my brother. Could be my nephew, my cousin, whomever. We live with this undying fear. I should not shake like this because I got pulled over because I had a failure to signal.
Yes.
But that happens.
Right.
I should not have to try to find a populated location before I pull over because I'm afraid you're going to beat the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? We live that every day. We pass a cop. I have to deprogram and say, well, I don't have to slow down. I'm not speeding.
Right.
I'm not doing anything wrong. Yeah.
Right. Sometimes it doesn't matter.
And the gut is still like in knots just for a minute. But he was like, I noticed your face. I was like, I'm not mad. I'm trying my level best to not cry. Mm. 3 times today, just broke because it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much to see. And it's too much. It's harder to see when people watch and do nothing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to accept when. How do you not see that that hurts me? How do you not see the humanity in me? How do you look at me and see anything other than a person? And we can look around this world and see you campaign and care for a dog more than you do for us.
Yeah.
How do we adjust, ebb and flow, and live and trust the change that you say you want to make mm-hmm. and want to be a part of?
But you're not saying
But
anything.
You won't call out. Right. Right.
Without anger or skepticism. Because, I mean, that's exactly. How am I supposed to trust that you're going to do something about this if you see all of these things and then you want to turn it around and say that the rioters or the looters are, you know, outside of their realm or their... Sure, I'm all for equality, but... No buts.
No buts.
Well, and tolerance is just as guilty. You're just as guilty if you're tolerant mm-hmm. of the bad behavior as if you committed the crime yourself. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people will disagree with that, but when you stand by and you let it happen and you say nothing. Mm-hmm. So here's my confession. Promise you'll still be my friend.
Oh, no. Let me... No, okay.
Depends on what you say, Kimberly.
So, no, this is true. Like, this weighs heavily, and it's... And so I'm in staffing. Mm-hmm. And when I first got into the staffing industry, and honestly, for probably a good many years, there were many clients in Dallas that refused to hire mm-hmm. Black women.
Oh, yeah.
I mm-hmm. tolerated it. Like, I, you know, if that's what the client wants, you give the client what they want. I participated. Mm-hmm. I played into that, and I allowed it, and I allowed myself to make money on it.
Mm-hmm. You profited from it.
I 100% right. did. Right. And it's...
But has that changed?
Yes. But okay. Sadly, just within the last few years. You know? I was listening to a podcast recently. I don't remember the name of it. And it was a woman who had just graduated from law school. Mm-hmm. Pretty prestigious. It wasn't Harvard, but it was a prestigious law school. And she had her very first interview outside of law school. And she shows up. She has a phone screen initially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it went really, really well. And she was so excited. She gets there. She's sitting in the waiting room. And 3 men come out to greet her. They take one look at her and they turn around and they walk back from the direction they came. And then they send their receptionist to come out and say, they've been called away to an unexpected court case, which doesn't happen. Right. And
all 3 of them.
We'll get back with you. Of course, they never call her. She was a Black woman. And she's like this. She knew it. The second they looked at her, she knew it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it's over.
We can feel it. Mm-hmm. We can feel it. I have felt it.
Yeah.
I have felt it. It's a look. You'll hear us say there's a look. And there is. It's almost
like
dead look in the eye and this almost hatred. And it's deep seated. Yeah. It crosses all industries.
Yeah.
And you can only get but so far. And if you are, you do get that far. In some cases, they don't want to hear your voice. Mm-hmm. They want your feedback, your input, your talent. But they don't want to hear your voice.
Yeah.
You know, like in one of my most recent roles, management director level, I was called in to create, develop certain things for analytical purposes, for external clients, big box retailers, and expose and create dashboards and states of business and make it more profitable. Mm-hmm. I walk into my VP's office. She's got my report creation on her screen and she's building something else and sending it to the CEO in her name.
From your report?
And this was a sketch to say, hey, here you go. What do you think about this?
Right.
Before I've populated review with all the numbers.
Yeah.
And it goes public and every department in the company benefited from it. Mm. Every single one from engineering.
And you walked in on her?
Oh, I walked in her office. And I walked in for something else.
Yeah.
And I looked at her screen. I glanced. And she saw that I saw it. She goes, oh, hey, you say I was borrowing? I was like, oh, you were stealing my report? I said, okay, is it going to do some good? She goes, yeah. I said, okay, make sure you let them know I helped you with that.
Exactly. Make sure I get accreditation credit where credit's due.
I saw that on at least a handful of occasions.
Wow.
Well, and that's another thing, too, as a black woman. You are not only black, but you're a woman. So you are the most oppressed, but also the most educated, statistically, nationwide. Mm-hmm. More black women have college degrees. They have second-level degrees. And they are underpaid and under, like, not even underemployed, but underpaid for their experience level versus their counterparts mm-hmm. that are white. Mm-hmm. Not only men, but women. Yeah. Like, you versus a white woman, that white woman will make more than you, and she has less of a degree than you do.
And mm-hmm. she's making less than the white man. The guy.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, what I hang in the balances of my memory and for our culture and black men, especially my sons and relatives and black men in general, this story has fallen by the wayside. But do you guys remember James Byrd?
No.
From Jasper, Texas.
No. I don't think so.
He's a black man that was walking down the street and assaulted by some white boys, white supremacists, hitched to the back of their pickup and dragged to death alive. They found body parts of his down the road, down the highway.
I do remember this.
And for me...
1998.
Yeah. Not that far. Not that long ago.
No.
And for me... That's an image to me and a definition of what white supremacy is. Mm-hmm. And they did it just for giggles because they just saw him. And it's similar to Ahmaud Arbery.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just a guy mm-hmm. jogging down the street and they
ran into him with the truck.
I was like, what have we done? You don't even know him. What did he do that was so bad to make you treat him the way you did?
And I'll tell you, to take it to another level, what really frustrates me is when we have stories like this, and the media comes out with an excuse. Well, mm-hmm. there'd been burglaries in the neighborhood, and you know
he fit the description.
He was
Bullshit.
Walking around.
We all fit the damn description.
Here's right. what I think, though. What if he really had been burglarizing? He hadn't been, but let's just say mm-hmm. he had been. Let's just say he was walking around those houses looking to steal something. Are we saying that justifies being murdered right. in the street? It does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
Just like George Floyd, the coroner came out and said that, you know, asphyxiation was not the cause of death. It was, you know, his heart. I'm like,
that was the first lie.
Right.
Oh my gosh. And it's so frustrating, but I'm like, let's just say that's true.
Mm-hmm.
He would still, even if his heart gave out and that is how he died, it is because somebody had their knee on his neck.
Yes.
It just drives me how they try to justify.
Change the narrative. Yeah.
Well, and justify it and make it okay.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't about that. It was about this. He had heart problems.
And what happened to due process?
Murder is murder.
If it was a white person and there had been crimes in the neighborhood, the cops come, they talk to the white guy, they put him in the car, and they take him to jail. So you're not allowed to have the same due process as white people?
No.
Murderers. There was a photo where they arrested a white man who had just murdered two people. He's sitting on the curb in handcuffs.
They gave him water. Yeah.
For murder.
Correct me if I'm wrong, did they take Dylan Roof to Burger King or something? Somebody was hungry on the way to jail?
Yes.
This is the stuff we have to see daily. It's always out there.
And then
it's
how are
happening.
You not supposed to be angry?
Pissed off.
Right.
Pissed
you
want to
call
off.
Me an angry black woman? Why do you
Hell
think
yeah,
I'm angry?
Hell yeah, I'm mad. Yeah.
Why do you think I'm mad? Right. You've never experienced half of this shit.
And it creates a dissension, too, amongst us towards each other.
Yeah, exactly.
It does.
It's all toxicity, and it's created to cause us to self-destruct.
And that's what another thing that I was going to say, too, is what scares them? It's fear.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid that if they're nice to you, you might be a good person.
They might have been wrong.
Yes.
They might have been wrong.
And they might have to check their privilege and check their preconceived notions about your skin color and how that changes you as a human. But guess what? You're a human. We all bleed red. Mm-hmm. We're all the same underneath. You have a different culture than I do. But guess what? Maybe I could learn from you. Maybe I could be your friend. Maybe I can teach you some things about my culture. But God forbid they open their minds and allow that to happen.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing is just that I've learned. And especially with Chloe, she went to... She's and I've purposely chosen, like, the where she goes to school. I want her to go to school in a diverse place. I want her to learn from other people. Like, she had another friend that she went to school with that was from India. Mm-hmm. And we went over to their house, and they dressed up, and they watched Bollywood videos, and they wore the skirts, and she put the jewel on her forehead. And, like, there's literally nothing wrong with that. The comment out of her father's mouth was absolutely ignorant, and I didn't even pay it any mind. Mm-hmm. But it's like, why not embrace each other? Why not just realize that we're all just out here trying to live our best lives and figure it out? Nobody has it figured out.
It's because everybody's so close-minded. You've got to educate yourself. You've got to turn off the news. Mm-hmm. The media is that we're puppets. Anybody who turns the news on, you are placating to the negativity. You are a puppet.
Yep.
We need to
if
turn
you fall
it.
For it.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you fall for well, it. I watch it to know... Well, okay, has the game changed?
Right, right. But that's different.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
everybody's doing that.
Right.
Most people are listening to it, absorbing it, and believing it, mm-hmm. and not doing... And you know what? If you believe it, but you've done the education, and that's just where your heart falls, hey, I may not agree with what you think, but at least you educated yourself.
Yeah.
People aren't doing that.
No.
Right. That is their education.
Right.
And that is the problem.
Yeah.
And whatever you learned in school, guess what? That is about 20% of the story. And some
and
of
that
it
ain't
is
all
a,
true.
And that ain't even all true. Mm-hmm. You got to get out there. And if you don't like to read, find some podcasts. Mm-hmm. Find something to educate yourself so that you understand the true history of this country before you form an opinion.
Right. Or just talk to people.
Right. Have a conversation.
Why can't you talk to people?
Have a conversation.
Talking to people is good too, yeah. but you don't know what they know and what's in their mind.
Yeah, but I don't mean as far as like education.
Okay.
I mean it's like opening your mind and having a conversation.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Just
like,
empathizing and understanding
yeah.
each
you're person's. A person. I'm a person.
Yeah.
I have struggles. You have struggles. Let's talk about compare and mm-hmm. then go get some food, you
yeah.
know?
Like.
And what I would caution to say is, as a black person, I would say not propping up the experience between cultures, like, well, I did this thing, or I was around this type of person, or
yeah.
I was around this type of person, not propping it up to say, here's my trophy.
Right. Just
here's
make it
my
normal.
Effort. Here's what I did.
Right.
Here's who my kids are friends with. Here's who I like. Here's who we go out to eat with. Here's who we break bread with.
Just do it.
We do it once in a while. Or, okay, because for me, if I scroll down your Facebook page, how diverse is it?
Exactly.
If I scroll down your Instagram connects, how diverse is it?
Exactly.
Is it just going to be me?
Right.
Then I'm not feeling the change.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? And I can be called on that as well. But I guarantee you, you'll find more diversity than expected. Now, that may change in light of the situation right
sure.
now, because the silence to me of my so-called white friends
mm-hmm.
is louder
it's deafening.
Than any riot, bullet, explosion mm-hmm. on the planet.
Yeah.
Because if you care for me, stand for me.
Yeah.
Stand
That's,
with me.
And I didn't know whether, and so I, you know, I sent her the text message, my best friend, I sent her the text message, and then I make a post on Instagram, and I literally, my caption was like, not because it's trendy, not because I feel like it needs to be said, to be relevant, it's because I stand with you, and what I don't know, but I want you to know that I support you no matter what, because in times like this, where white people don't know what to say, just know that I will go with you, I will do anything you want me to do, I will stand with you, because I know your family, and I know your background, and I know your history, and I know... And this is going to make me cry. I'm the first one's going to cry. Like, I know what it was like to grow up in a house where, you know, both of our moms were struggling and it was hard. And when I met you and you were my friend and you saw me, I see you. And I don't know what I don't know, but I love you. And I'm sorry that this is happening to you.
What?
And it's just like...
And here's what I will say. Here's what I will say to being a partner. Because this is what we need, right?
Yeah.
We need the empathy, the regret, the shame for the hurt, but also the willingness to course correct,
yes.
right? So instead of waiting for the invitation when it comes,
yeah.
and it's great that you would accept it,
yeah.
extend it.
Just go.
Or call and
Do
say,
yeah.
and say, how are you doing? How this is
yeah.
really effed up right now. This is hard. And... how are your kids?
Right.
How's everything going? Instead of, here we go.
Right.
You know, and I'm not you.
No,
personally,
no, no, I know.
But these are things we're faced with. And we're like, okay, even when I've shared it, nothing happened, or they turned on me, or they ghosted me,
right.
or I saw them on another site and they're friends with Candace Owen, which means that's the antithesis of what mm-hmm. I believe and what our culture needs.
So do you really hear me? Are you really supporting me?
Why are you here?
Right.
Why are you reaching out to me?
Right.
What is it you want? And don't talk to me about what God said and what God likes and what God loves and what we should be doing
right.
when you do nothing. Or worse, you secretly engage in the things that are against me.
Right. Mm.
And pretend to be for me.
See, I feel like I'm even worse because I haven't been very vocal on social media at all. But in the background, people don't even know what I'm doing to educate myself. And a lot of times I don't say anything because I don't know what to say that's going to be appropriate. I don't know if I'm going to say something and it's going to be misconstrued or it's going to be taken the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I'm so full of shame and guilt for the just being white in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to say. I don't know what the right thing is. So
but
I stay
you,
silent.
But you do know, Kim. Here's the thing. It's not, and I know it feels like that, and I'm not accusing you of not being honest. What I'm pointing out is you know.
Yeah.
Because you consciously know that you could say something and all hell could break loose. So you're cautious, but you're cautious in a manner of self-preservation.
I was going to say protecting
and sometimes
myself
you have to take that risk and step out there. And if somebody misreads, it's a conversation. Oh my God, I didn't mean for it to come out that way.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I meant by that.
You're
yeah.
right. I have
and that's
not been
all
brave
you
enough
do.
To step
that's
up and say something.
And you, I told you what the woman called me online.
Do you feel okay sharing that?
Oh yeah, I'm perfectly fine with it. And it pissed me off. But you know why I was most pissed off is because it hurt my feelings.
I just don't think, I haven't read
right.
anything that you have said that would warrant, nothing would ever warrant that. But I don't understand.
The fact that the way she did it, so I was on our neighborhood chat, Facebook page.
Right.
And they were talking about the protest and if they bring that shit over here, I'm going to have my gun. And if they come to my door and we're like, I'm pretty sure rioters aren't coming to your door.
Right.
I'm pretty sure protesters aren't knocking on doors.
Right.
And it just got so ugly. This girl DMs me and she says, Shamora, you fucking nigger bitch. And I looked at that. I haven't even told my husband about this.
Oh God, he's going to die.
I don't know why. I think because I don't know why. I think protecting him because he wants to protect me.
Of course.
So if he knows now he's pissed.
Of course.
And
do
so
you know
I
this
just,
person?
No.
Oh.
No. And yes, it was a white girl. And so I took the steps to what my response to her was. I sent a lot of rolling on the floor laughing emojis. Because I want you to feel like
you didn't touch
on your
me.
Best day.
Yeah.
On your best day. You're effing coward.
Yeah.
Then I blocked her because to block means I disengage.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, because I'm a
from
fighter.
The situation, yeah.
I'm a natural fighter to a fault to where I would get myself in trouble because I went too hard.
I wish my daughter was here. I begged her to be here with us today.
Taylor. Yeah.
She is.
I wish Elytris was here.
Well, she's a social justice warrior who is not silent, who does not be still, be quiet. She's very, very vocal. And I wanted her here today because she is so much better at articulating how she's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not with anything.
Yeah.
Not ask April. Like, she laughs at me. I'm just not good at sharing my feelings with anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't.
Yeah.
Right? But she is so good at it and so eloquent. So I wanted her to be here today. Just to kind of share the experience because she is so invested in making change. But
you know, I think one of the ways that can help you start to develop that
yeah.
is, and I shared this with my mom, I had to learn this because I'm like trigger.
Yeah.
She told me, she was like, no, you're not like a six shooter. You're like a Gatling gun. When you go, it's just like you are.
Taylor, yeah.
It's damage, right? And for me, I said, I had to learn to train myself to think by saying, before I say this, how do I want them to feel at the mm-hmm. end of what I say?
Yeah.
Not what do I want them to hear?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
How do I want them to feel
well,
at the end
the
of my message?
Is, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I want, if I intend for you to feel like I'm on your side, I have to frame up my message in the way that at the very last word, you walk away feeling like I am on your side.
Right.
If I feel like F you, I need you to feel that F you at the end of what I say. I want it to, because I'm not going to say it unless I absolutely mean it for whatever reason it took place.
Yeah.
So I have to be deliberate in how I leave it with you, how it rests on you, because I'm a firm believer. And I think it was Maya Angelou who said, people may not remember what you said. They may not remember what you did, but they'll remember how you made them feel.
Yeah.
And so for me, how I make you feel is my intention behind what I say.
Yeah.
So I work on how to frame up the wording.
Right.
Even if I have to add a little color or LOL to say, you know, that shit ain't right. You know, but LOL, I ain't mad at you, but I'm just telling you it's wrong.
Well, it's funny, you know? Too, because that's what my, that's what she said to me. She was like, I don't have sympathy for it, but I understand where you're coming from. I want to tell you what she said. So she sent this to all of her friends that were white. And she said, good morning, all. I hope you've taken this time to have some type of conversation with your children about race and privilege. I say hope because you surely are not obligated, nor am I assuming that you ever have. But as a black woman helping to raise the black sons and daughters of others, I am obligated to say something. You may feel that you are too young, or that they are too young, and some are. However, do remember that thinking this is a privilege. I am happy to help simplify as much as possible, but I will not sugarcoat. Mm-hmm. During these protests, I'm sure there have been moments you were confused, scared, enraged, or hurt. That's the point. Because being black is living your life constantly having to pair your joy with pain, your accomplishments with anger, and your love with confusion. This is also not a time for you to say you understand. You don't.
Right.
I personally have probably never shared every personal experience I've had regarding race, but let me tell you, it's too many to count. I also realize that this is probably traumatic for you, seeing and feeling and truly being affected by what's going on outside of your homes. And that's okay. I want to help a genuine heart. So think about it, pray about it, and let me know if you need me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tells me, you know, hey, they're doing like a breakdown, like a Sesame Street version about race on, I believe it was, I can't remember which news channel, but she was
I saw it.
Chloe should watch that. Yeah. And it was just like, that is the, again, the conversations that need to be had. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I show up for you? Even if I don't say anything, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? How can I show my solidarity with you? And I think that that's another thing that I've seen on Instagram is that a lot of people, especially influencers, people with 100 to 500,000 followers, that's what they're saying. They're like, I didn't know. I mm-hmm. don't know. But what I do know is this is an injustice, mm-hmm. and I don't want to see this going forward. So help me help you, mm-hmm. right? I'll show up. I'll be there. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I will make sure that I check my privilege at the front door, whatever. You know what I mean? And this is the type of thing that needed to happen a long time ago. But I think now more that people are understanding we're all just people.
And people are not putting up with that
BS.
Yeah. And the other thing is when you have the blending of hearts where you have younger kids who don't care what color the person is that they date.
Yeah.
And then your daughter walks in with a little chocolate baby. What are you going to do?
Hey, chocolate baby.
What are you going to do? Yeah. It's probably a good-looking baby.
My husband knows that if anything happens to him, I'm leaving him for a black man.
You can cut that
part. I'm going to leave it in.
But I do want to say to you, Kim, as far as not feeling like you have the words, it doesn't take eloquence.
Yeah.
It takes heart. It takes love. It takes intentionality. You have to intend to help, be helpful, intend to make the change that we talk about, intend to be involved, intend to be present, and intend to make the impression on those that it matters most to, mm-hmm. that you're working and fighting on the behalf of, intend that they get that message, that they get that understanding, that they feel it.
Right.
It needs to be visceral. It needs to be...
Yeah, innate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it'll come with the intention of the heart. If you really mean the change, it'll come. It will get so heavy that you can't sit by and not say something.
Yep.
That you can't sit there and not say, I'm not doing it. That's not wrong. And if you do it, I'm going to have something to say about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out who I need to talk to make sure you don't get away with this.
Yeah. Be the change you want to see.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, that was an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It was so
I don't feel like we're done.
I know. I feel like we could go.
Done.
So I say that we bring you back, and then I would love it if my best friend could be here, too. And then we can all have a conversation again, further it, continue it, talk about, you know, maybe the...
Well, it can't stop here.
I was about to say, if the conversation stops, change
it
stops.
It can't stop here, so... Yeah.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Especially from, like... Because you have, you know, grown children. You have raised children in the current state. She doesn't have any children, but she has nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, a blended family. Yeah. You know, her nieces and nephews are mixed. Mm-hmm. And then that goes again with, like, what Alicia was saying, too, is, like, she had to explaining racism to young children. Just everything, mm-hmm. you know? Like, mm-hmm. it's so impactful, and it's so important that we make sure we're doing our part to stop the pattern.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that's like with my daughter. I told my husband, I said, we have to have the conversation. I said, and that's fine. I just resent the necessity.
I know.
That's the part. Why?
Well, and it's like, why? Even with Chloe, like, if there weren't certain things being said, it would never be an issue. Because mm-hmm. she's genuine, and her soul sees other souls, and she's made best friends with everybody. And I'm like... Why do I have to talk to you about this? Like, why did somebody have to put these thoughts in your head that that's important?
The world is broken. Because
it's not. Yeah.
So. All right, y'all. Well,
thank you so much for coming.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you so much.
You're coming back.
You're coming back.
We're putting it on the calendar.
I'd love to.
We just scratched the surface.
Barely.
We didn't really dive deep, I think, today, just because first time you've been on and just so much to talk about. So when you come back, we'll get a little deeper.
What should we title this episode?
The Truth Shall Set You Free.
I don't know. We'll think about it.
All right. Well, we love you. We love you.
Yes,
love
thank
you
so much for coming.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Like and subscribe.
I'm sure this episode is going to be a little bit controversial, so feel free to send us an email with any of your
feedback.
Oh,
yeah.
And if you have the courage to send us an email with any of your feedback, I would have no problem reading it on the podcast, so be mindful
Please.
Of what you say.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Or don't be.
www.biggirlpantspod.com, biggirlpantspod@gmail.com. If you have any questions, you can find us on YouTube, social media, Big Girl Pants Podcast.
All the social media platforms.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.